Electricity, a big idea that's inspired countless new ones. From powering the light bulb to virtually powering our entire lives. 30 years ago, State Street launched the Spider S&P 500 ETF, SPY. A big idea that inspired the world to invest differently. And still does. What can you do with SPY?
Before investing, consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Visit SSGA.com for a prospectus containing this and other information. Read it carefully before investing. SPY is subject to risks similar to those of stocks. All ETFs are subject to risk, including possible loss of principal. Alps Distributors, Inc. Distributor.
It's Jim Cramer here. You're listening to the opening bell of CNBC's Squawk on the Street. Don't miss a minute of the action.
I guess that makes us Bosley. Good Monday morning. Welcome to Squawk on the Street. I'm Carl Quintanilla with Jim Cramer at the New York Stock Exchange. David Faber has the morning off. Futures are under the gun to start the week after the tragic developments out of Afghanistan. We've got some COVID worries, of course, a miss on China eco data. Our roadmap's going to begin with the taper timeline, though. Some shifting policy views have potentially opened the door for the Fed to announce it will begin tapering as early as September. Tesla shares lower as the U.S. opens a formal safety probe into the autopilot system, and crypto surging once again, topping a $2 trillion market cap for the first time in nearly 3 months. So we just listed there some of the worries that we wake up to on a Monday, Jim, and we're going to get a lot of retail earnings this week. Maybe they give us a better sense as to at least how the consumer is digesting all of this.
I think that's absolutely true. A lot of the price increases that Frank Holland discussed in the previous show, which is pretty jarring, I think are in response to the fact that everybody got money from the government. And there's no resistance. Obviously, look, these are guys who know to cut and promote if they feel like they need to discount things. And they obviously don't think that there's any need to discount. So what we're going to hear is, I think, some really great numbers from companies that are selling things full priced that we would be surprised about. But maybe they also comment that back to school is tricky, given the fact that when you listen to Dr. Gottlieb, it's very true that under 12, very difficult to figure out how they're going to go to school.
Right. We're going to hear a piece of what the doctor said on Squawk a few moments ago. But Airbnb, Southwest, the UMish numbers on Friday, Jim, which you were out on Friday, but fifth biggest collapse in a month in the history of the series.
Look, I listened to that Airbnb call, and it was really interesting here, Brian Chesky, because it's all good about the past. And then it's just completely open about the future. Now, DoorDash, which also went down, was very good about the future, given the fact that there might be a lockdown. So I came back and said, you know what? I like Stephanie Link. Why don't you give me something that has a price-earnings multiple I don't have to worry about? Because these stocks are new, they're unseasoned, and when I hear that there may be trouble with DoorDash drivers, when I hear that Airbnb people are reluctant to go, I said, well, these companies aren't priced like that. They're just not. So I am, call me uncertain about all the new companies. Now, today, when I look at the research, we were going up, okay, AppLovin, Ryan Specialty, oh, Wheels Up, CS Disco. I don't know, Burn Baby Burn, Disco Inferno. No, it turns out it's a legal solutions company. First Advantage, oh, I love that. Kaltura, I thought that was a jeans company. Paycor, I mean, look at these things. I mean, I gotta know every one of them. And then suddenly I get to Cisco.
Yes, a name we know.
And I say, ah. Thank heavens. August 18. Chuck Robbins. Totally realistic. He'll be great. And then Sonos. Okay, well, I have Sonos. But, I mean, honestly, Paycor. Is it a junior workday? Now, by the way, I've actually done research on these, so it's not like I'm making
yes.
But
yes.
We're now in that era where all these companies that rang the bell are now getting research coverage. And it is very hard for someone trying to be good to figure out whether you buy Wheels Up.
No, you made this point before, that the street only has a certain bandwidth, and we've had so many companies come to market. Honest
right.
Company gets us some research as well today that, you know, how good is the homework, right?
No.
Yeah.
And I look at First Advantage improving the hiring process. City likes it. 25 goes to 28. Well, I want 25 goes to 50.
Right.
I'm not going to do $3 for some company that just started, right, even though it sounds like a good company.
This taper discussion, Jim, is it adding anything new? I mean, or is this something we already have baked in? September announcement, maybe December, rolling off purchases by the middle of next year, et cetera?
Well, yeah, I think that I have a mortgage company on this week, and they're convinced, like everybody knows, and everybody's trying to get a mortgage ahead of time. But they're the only people I actually are focused on other than traders. I mean, will there be algorithmic traders who sell things on a taper? I mean, I don't think it'll be a taper tantrum. I think it's not going to be a taper yawn. But it'll be an instance to be a taper weeping.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just not a tantrum. A tantrum, to me, implies sell stocks. I think people are very reluctant to get rid of their stocks, given the fact that it's been impossible to get back in once you go. I mean, I was for my charitable trust, I went back into PayPal. Now, PayPal doesn't act well. But I said, oh, there's a chance. Finally, doesn't act well. I mean, to get in, you want to get into things because you just see them go up and yes. up and up, and it's driving people crazy.
Well, you've made this point before. There's a piece on Bloomberg over the weekend where you're now up nearly a 200 days without a 5% pullback. 48 all-time highs so far this year. You take out 1964, Jim. That's the most we've had at this point in a year in 100 years.
It's extraordinary. But there is a lot of money that was sent by the government to people. I watched, like everybody else, people climbing terrible C-130s. And I remember I went back and looked, thank you to Bing West, about what happened in Vietnam. In Vietnam, the U.S. Air Force flew 201 C-140s, 174 C-130 sorties, evacuated 45,000 Vietnamese to Guam, evacuating 7,800 people to Thailand. 71 U.S. helicopters flew 660 sorties. They took out 50,000 people. 50,000 people. Secretary Schlesinger was a brilliant man. The United States took out 2,000 Afghans.
Yeah.
I mean, so I figure, all right, you're Taiwan, and you're looking at it, and you say, whoa, I mean, just a second. Chinese, obviously cheering the Taliban. Maybe we got to rethink who we send chips to. The market doesn't even care. I mean, I was watching the futures last night. I said, do the futures not know what just happened in Afghanistan?
I think a lot of people were looking for a broader decline than we're seeing so far, at least this morning.
It's early.
It is early. And speaking of the line between Afghanistan and the markets, let's get to our own Dan Murphy this morning for the latest, at least out of Kabul. Dan, good morning.
Hi there, Kyle. Yeah, curious to really get your take on whether or not you think this is impacting equity futures right now. But I wanted to begin with the latest from Kabul Airport, which has really become the epicenter of this story. Take a look at the latest vision that we're getting from Kabul Airport, where we see scenes of complete chaos and desperation. Earlier today, Afghans clamoring around a moving U.S. Air Force plane. You can see some of them clinging in desperation to the side of that aircraft. That aircraft is underway. The engines are running. You can also see others trying to keep up, running alongside, essentially attempting to leave Afghanistan, which is now well and truly under Taliban control. Of course, we have seen also reports of shots being fired at the airport earlier on today. And at the same time, Reuters reporting that five people were killed in the chaos at the airport. However, NBC News has not been able to independently verify that reporting. Of course, President Joe Biden is going to have to politically explain these visuals. He's not doing a lot of talking at the moment. We understand right now the White House is considering its response. But this, of course, comes after we saw extraordinary pictures emerging in the past 24 hours of Taliban fighters making their way inside the Afghan presidential palace, essentially cementing Taliban control over the capital, Kabul, and ultimately Taliban control over Afghanistan near two decades after the original American entry into that country. So the situation on the ground is still very fluid as it stands. On the other side of the airport as well, what we know is that the United States has been attempting to remove its own American diplomats from the country. Most have been able to leave safely, we understand, but that evacuation effort is still very much underway. What we're also looking out for now is any commentary from an emergency session of the United Nations Security Council, which is getting underway in around an hour's time. We're looking out to see how world leaders are reacting to this. So far, we've seen condemnation from the majority of countries who are ultimately quite concerned about what an Afghanistan under Taliban control is going to mean for, number one, security in the region, this part of the world that I'm in right now, the Middle East, and, of course, security globally. And are we going to see, perhaps, Afghanistan again becoming a hotbed for terrorism into the future, guys? A lot to unpack there. Back over to you.
Dan, certainly a lot of our policymakers here are having to revisit some of their earlier expectations about that very dynamic. Dan Murphy, thank you. Jim, the pictures are so disheartening all weekend long, and yet we know this is a market that, at least in the last couple of years, doesn't respond to geopolitical risk.
No. I think about your 1964, okay, versus 1975, where the market was just in this morass, and there are many reasons why, but that was the collapse of Saigon. And I'm just thinking, no market's bulletproof. We may discover midday that the semis go down because of worry about Taiwan. But people have a hard time relating anything to any of it. I mean, let's give you an example. For a long time, oil went up, and we felt confident about the economy. Oil's been down for several days now. Oil doesn't look so good. No one's even mentioning the fact that Venezuela has reached a compromise where they actually, I think, are going to be re-welcomed as a nation that used to produce 4 million barrels a day. What happens? People yawn. They just keep yawning. Like, I don't know how long you can yawn before you just say, wait a second, there's just a lot of things going wrong. But at the same time, the money,
right.
The money is here. And I see the travel plans canceled, but then I see a company buy a hotel. And I'm
yes.
thinking, wow, some people longer term are very bullish. But I urge people to go in and read that Airbnb conference call because you will not be bullish. You'll say, wow, because I thought Airbnb was the way to travel because you felt that that was the safest. Now it just seems like I got to hear more from Southwest and Airbnb. I want to hear like because right now I don't feel confident.
Indeed. And speaking of all of that, we are going to keep our eyes on travel stocks today. Talk about the Delta variant. This is what Dr. Gottlieb had to say this morning about the whole dynamic and including children in hospitals. Take a listen.
About 1% of kids who get diagnosed with COVID get hospitalized. About a third of them get admitted to the intensive care unit. So we don't have a lot of pediatric beds in this country. We could find ourselves in a situation where we start to get pressed for capacity very quickly, especially if a lot of kids remain vulnerable and we end up going back to school and you start seeing outbreaks in the school setting. The reality right now is we don't know how many kids have been infected.
So the percentage of U.S. hospital beds that are COVID-related, about 10% right now. It was about 2% in June. On the other hand, did 1 million vaccinations yesterday.
Yes.
That's double that from June.
Untold stories. You'll get a Provincetown breakout and everyone says, holy cow, get people together. It's no good. 7 hospitalizations, no deaths. Okay, so the people who are anti-vax are going to get sick at a much more serious. I mean, if you knew that you could have the sickness be less intense, why would you not go for that vaccine? But that's still proven to be a very difficult sell for some. But I was very heartened by more. I mean, I'll get a lot of heat that I was heartened by 1 million people taking it. I think as a nation, it's great. We don't want those hospitalizations that Dr. Gottlieb has been true north the whole way. And so is Dr. Eric Topol, by the way. A lot of people at CDC look toward Eric Topol. And it's weird because like they're following his tweets. But he's gospel.
Yeah.
And both of them just they show you charts. And the charts are rather magnificent if you had the vaccine and horrendous if you don't.
Right.
So, I mean, why be part of the horrendous? Why? I struggle about someone who's choosing to be really sick versus someone who's not. I mean, the idea is to live. That's like the goal.
Yep. Keep you safe. I did see a Mercer study. About 14% now of U.S. employers that they surveyed say they will or already have instituted vaccine mandates for their workers.
Right.
And we'll hear more, I'm sure, in the days to come.
But the president never did. Really interesting.
Yeah.
He never did.
I'm not sure they felt like they had a federal standing, right?
No, I know. But, well, save more lives. Right. Less people sick. Yeah. To me, it's like positive. I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm an outlier here, but the positive notion.
When we come back, we are going to take a closer look into that investigation into Tesla that was announced out of NHTSA just a while ago. In the meantime, busy week setting up between the retail earnings, FOMC minutes. We are going to hear from Powell at some point. Don't forget NVIDIA and Cisco. More Squawk on the Street from the NYSE straight ahead.
The spirit of performance defines Acura. And now it's electric. Introducing the all-electric ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. While what powers their cars may change, the energy that makes Acura never will. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system and up to 313-mile range on a single charge and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is everything they said electric could never be. It was built with the driver in mind, just like Acura has been doing since the beginning. We could talk all day, but the only way to experience this electric performance is to drive it yourself. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
What's on the horizon for financial markets? At PGIM, it's a question that over 1,400 investment professionals relentlessly research in pursuit of your long-term goals. Specialized across asset classes, but united in collaboration, our teams provide global and local expertise. Our investments shape tomorrow, today. Pursue your tomorrow with PGIM, a leading global asset manager.
The U.S. government opening a formal investigation into Tesla's autopilot system. Our Phil LeBeau has the latest this morning. Hey, Phil.
Hey, Carl. This is what a lot of people have been calling for some time. And as you take a look at shares of Tesla, you see they're under a little bit of pressure, not extreme pressure, but a little bit of pressure after the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration announced that it will be opening a formal investigation looking into Tesla's autopilot technology. What will NHTSA be looking at? Well, specifically, it will be looking at 11 crashes where Tesla vehicles were in autopilot mode and they crashed into emergency vehicles. Those crashes led to 17 injuries, one fatality. This will involve the models S, X, Y, and 3. 765,000 vehicles, basically everything Tesla has made from 2014 through 2021. Altogether, NHTSA has reports of 31 incidents involving autopilot technology. That includes these 11, and there have been others as well. But for this investigation, it'll only be focused on the 11 crashes. By the way, those go back to 2018, those crashes. As you once again take a look at Tesla over the last 5 years, as this stock has moved higher, Elon Musk has repeatedly defended autopilot, even as critics have said, look, there are not enough safeguards in here. It's camera based only. It doesn't use LiDAR technology. It allows drivers to think that the car is completely self-driving when it's not. Elon Musk has at times said, yes, it's not completely self-driving. At the same time, he has also sold the perception, if you will, that autopilot is essentially the way for you to get in your car and your car is going to take you from point A to point B. Though, again, when pressed on analyst calls and at other times, Jim, he has said, sure, it's not 100% self-driving. So we'll see what happens here with the NHTSA investigation. Just a reminder, Jim, the way this works, NHTSA investigates. If they find there's a flaw with the technology, they go to an automaker and they say, you should recall this technology or come up with a solution. If the automaker says, no, we're not going to do that, then NHTSA goes to court to force a recall. But we're a long ways from that happening. We still need to see exactly what happens with this formal investigation.
Well, Phil, I think that's a great report, but it made me think, are those really bad numbers? I mean, over a long period of time, I think it's very few. And then I question, let's say drunk driver versus sober driver. How many people would a drunk driver have killed? So I don't know. I mean, I think it sounds like a pretty good anybody gets a crash is all bad. But that's a very few number, isn't it, Phil?
Well, it depends on how you look at it, Jim. Some people would look at this and they would say there are 31 incidents, 11 crashes in this investigation, 31 altogether that NHTSA has acknowledged. So the question becomes, are those the only ones that we know about? And the other question becomes, is the technology being marketed and sold to the public in a fashion that makes them think their vehicle is completely self-driving? Because it's not. It is not self-driving technology. And so that's the question, Carl. And ultimately, we'll see if anything comes of this. By the way, we have yet to hear from Elon Musk. Remember, they disbanded their media relations department. And a few reporters already tweeted at Elon saying, Elon, do you have anything to say about this investigation? We'll see what he has to say.
That's pattern recognition because he sometimes does make material comments on Twitter, Phil. We'll keep our eyes peeled for that. Thank you, our Phil LeBeau. Meantime, it's interesting. You got that going on. GM and Ford are fighting about the terminology of the word cruise. So autonomy is moving along in different kinds of ways.
Yes, and we still haven't heard from the big guns, like somebody like a Waymo from Alphabet. What are they doing? Intel, Mobileye. Watch that one. Pat Gelsinger, I think, has inherited a very good business. And it's going to be, I think, maybe the leader in self-driving. So I'm not giving up on self-driving because I think that if we had robots that drove rather than humans when Henry Ford started mass producing, we'd have far fewer deaths. But I also recognize that any death is too many.
Yeah. We're gonna watch it after the NHTSA headlines did cross about an hour ago. We're going to get Cramer's Mad Dash and count down to the opening bell in a moment. In the meantime, futures continue to look weak here on the first day of a busy five sessions. We're back in a moment.
For more than a decade, Comcast has been committed to bridging the digital divide and connecting millions to affordable high-speed internet. But the barriers to get connected go well beyond affordability. Through Project Up, Comcast is committing $1 billion to reach millions with digital skills training, resources, and opportunities needed to succeed in a digital world. Project Up, building a future of unlimited possibilities. Learn more at comcast.com/projectup.
Let's get to Cramer's Mad Dash ahead of the opening bell. I got to know what you think of Ray J cutting Chipotle.
All right, so I read the whole report, and it makes me want to buy the stock really badly. First of all, they raised the price target. Second, they said they're going to exceed numbers. Third, they got a path to $3 million average unit volume, which is incredible. That is so much better than everybody else. And then they say, well, look, it's run a lot. Now, it has run a lot. But this is the kind of thing, of course, they keep it from, they go from strong buy to outperform. This is what analysts struggle with, which is that stocks have moved up so much. What do they do? And I actually think this is a prudent piece, but at the same time, will it come down? No. I mean, this stock is up. I've been using the $2,000 price target. It's one of my absolute favorites. But at the same time, I don't think this is bad research because the guy's had a home run. And,
right.
Why not take it down? I mean, all you can do is go wrong at this point.
Right. I mean, their point is that this move may not look like much. It's a 37% move in 6 weeks.
Right. There's not much left.
Right.
I mean, that's I think it's pretty interesting because what they're saying is, look, we don't recommend, we don't push stocks when there's only a little bit left, 7.5%. And that's true. I mean, so I applaud this research because you caught this move. And if you caught this move, hallelujah. I like the stock long term, but short term for traders, good piece.
Yeah, not getting dinged, up $5. We will get the opening bell in about 5 minutes. Don't go anywhere. Sonos is up in the pre-market after an International Trade Commission judge ruled that Alphabet's Google unit had infringed on some of Sonos's audio technology patents, coming on the heels of that surprise profit last week, Jim.
Well, you know, Sonos is one of those companies that I think people spend more time in their house. Well, bingo, they get Sonos. By the way, if you take a look at Best Buy, that's doing quite well, too. But this patent portfolio that I didn't really know existed is so important. This ITC ruling, there's apparently five patents. Sonos, many patents. To me, it didn't seem like it had as much intellectual property as I realized. Those of us who love Sonos just figure it's a connected speaker system. But no. And just one more reason to own it. I guess that's the best way to look at it.
I see you have the Jefferies notice. They go to
very positive.
They up to hold with a 50 target. But I guess what? The hold is reflecting valuation concerns at these levels?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, look, this is one of those things where there's real momentum in this company. People are looking for something to play the next level delta, too. I know there are a lot of people who are saying, listen, give me something if people go back home. Not lockdown, but just, you know, stay more at home, that you don't return to the office. This is the one people coming back to.
As opposed to a Zoom or Peloton or the classic lockdown plans.
Overplayed.
Yeah.
Overplayed. Yeah. Now, I saw Foley the other weekend. The guy's, well, he's not going to tell me he's not bullish, but they continue to do well with their ecosystem.
Yep.
But I just think when you look at Williams-Sonoma, which I like very much, people are talking about, well, wait a second, are there going to be port problems? A restoration hardware, now RH, the very positive note by Callan about it. Now, my problem with all of these is, can we get the stuff out of China? Can we get it out of China? And I don't know. I mean, that's our biggest worry these days.
I mean, it's also because of the Etsy quarter and the Roku quarter. Like, it's whiplash. Because they're talking about people going out more, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. If it's an in play, you want to go out. If it's an out play, you want to go in.
Right.
I mean, I would have just as soon in Chipotle say the issue here is that we're able to go to the stores. Maybe we won't go to the store. I went to McDonald's this weekend. And I went in, no mask. It was terrific. I love their coffee. I got the coffee, and I said, wow, it's all changed. And then I said, well, wait a second. What am I doing here? Maybe I should have a mask, right. But how do you drink coffee with a mask?
I know. You have me wearing the N95s again. Just to be
back
safe.
Back N95.
Just a layer of protection. There's the opening bell at the big board this morning. It is Airspan Networks, a telecom equipment company, celebrating its listing via SPAC. And at the NASDAQ, Monroe, an auto service provider, which we're watching as well. Yields, Jim, back to 2.25 this morning. We're going to watch that, I guess. Interesting that really the 10-year did come off of some technical levels last week.
Right. Well, I never want, for most of the people who watch our show, market, they're long. So I never want to say, hey, look, it's rational that the market's down. But we did lose Afghanistan over the weekend. Now, I know we were supposed to lose it, but I didn't even lose it over the weekend. And the fact that that would have no impact on the market is just ridiculous. We have allies. The allies saw that. Don't we think that some allies take a stand and say, you know what, this is what happened with Vietnam, maybe we won't be protected. Now, look, it's entirely possible that that would happen in Afghanistan and stays in Afghanistan, but it's not Vegas. Right. Is there really,
But also wasn't unexpected. In fact, it was delayed.
Truly. It seemed to be only the military didn't realize it was unexpected. The diplomatic corps and that horrendous flight reminds me very much of Saigon. But again, Saigon was far more orderly. I think that I'm just worried about, look, there's really only one. I sent you this weekend. You have to look at anyone who is trying to figure between us and China. Because there's China immediately saying we're going to build roads. Now, that's incredible. How is that possible that they're going to have any more luck than the United States and Russia?
It is called the Graveyard of Empires. So you think.
Always. I read that longer. Yes.
Yes. So you're suggesting maybe China says we want to take a crack at this? Good luck.
Another failed venture. Yeah. I think that the idea that the Chinese, who have not necessarily been all that great to Muslims, suddenly found a country that they liked, it's Muslim, it seems pretty fanciful. Sure. But the American, like the press, has given, I think, Biden a pretty, you know, pretty positive note on it. Trump wanted out. Biden wanted out. Everybody wanted out. So when it happened, why was it a shock to people? Or did they think that it would take weeks instead of the weekend?
Right.
It was kind of amazing. And then I figured, well, you know what? The market is going to be down initially, and then people are going to come in and start buying tech because maybe they think that the economy is going to slow. They want old tech. I mean, it is beleaguering to think, okay, which are they going to buy?
It's funny you say, well, maybe Seagate gets upgraded today.
Yeah, I saw that upgrade, STX.
UBS goes to 105. It's one of the biggest gainers on the S&P, Jim. To your point about, I mean, AMD's getting a little bit here.
Well, I mean, look. I do look at things that are drug stocks coming back, and it's just really hard to find. When you see Costco up so big, right, you start saying to yourself, you know what, people want to buy American retail. And Matt Boss with a fine piece out today. Costco's not reported for a while, but that's at the heart of what people want to buy. And I'm struggling with the idea that there's got to be something worth selling. Something should be sold. We have so many new companies coming. Everybody's got to buy on like Ryan Specialty Insurance. That's one of the worst businesses in the world, being a broker for Specialty Insurance. No, a lot of buys. So I got to go Ryan. Time to buy Ryan.
Right.
When you look at a company like Zoom, okay, Zoom's a good example. Zoom has changed rather radically. Much better company. Okay, my stepson works for Zoom, but I'm just saying, look at the company. But you know, that's a high multiple stock. That's high multiple. People want low multiple. I bet you Cisco is one. Let me just check. I mean, Cisco is like kind of bulletproof. Down 23 cents. Yeah. I didn't buy that. 2.6 yield.
JPM does reiterate an overweight on Cisco.
Basically, you read that? Basically, it's like, hey, this is okay. This one's all right. I mean, like, I read that. And it's like, hey, you know, that's an 8-9, 9-8 team because we got 17 games. You want to be 9-8. That could be in the right division. That's a good stock.
Yes. Well, of the retailers, and you mentioned some of them, we're going to get Walmart, Target, Lowe's, ELHD, TJX and Ross.
Oh, what a week.
I mean, do you foresee landmines? Do you see like a conference call coming along where the CFO's like, consumers, you, Mish, was not an outlier?
I think those guys are all, I mean, I'm looking at what Matt Boss put out today, and people are constructive. Everyone's constructive. And by the way, they can be constructive because they say, listen, in another 7 weeks, everybody who doesn't have this virus is going to get it, or unless they get vaccinated. Because the thing spreads. I mean, I don't think people realize that, you know, if you're, it's like chickenpox. When I went to school, there was chicken, you know, no one had chickenpox. We went to school, we all had chickenpox.
Sure.
I mean, it's kind of like eating inside. I don't know. Can't eat without a mask. That's the big problem. Got to eat. Got to take the mask off.
Yep.
See, if you could eat with a mask, we'd be safe. It's just that I haven't figured that out yet.
I have seen some pictures of musicians in bands where they do cut a small hole and the trumpeter can play that way.
Well, there's a go. Yeah. There's a go. Yeah. I don't know. When you want to eat a taco, it's really good to have your mouth open. There's a profound statement.
No, it is a, you know, look, that's why we're getting vaccine mandates for restaurants in New York, in San Francisco,
right,
in New Orleans. I'm not sure how you're handling the policy. I think that begins today.
It begins today, and I don't know, worn out by it, don't know what to do, just kind of feel like that, what's everyone else doing? It is amazing. I'll tell you, the one vaccine that I'm really worried about is the stock that's been the best J&J. It just doesn't go down. And the one that I think is really people should focus on is Regeneron. Because Regeneron has, there we go, Regeneron's finally moving up. Regeneron has the drip that makes it so that monoclonal antibody, that makes it so if you do get it and it's serious, it's Regeneron. And they're shipping, I don't know, 50,000 of these. I don't know how many they can make, although like a million. But this is the stock to own if you think that this thing's going to continue. That's the stock to
own. Not the vaccine makers.
I think they're okay. They've had such a run.
Right.
Moderna had a big short squeeze. I happen to love Moderna as a company. Pfizer's still not expensive. But, I mean, when you look at Pfizer versus, say, Lilly on the strength of maybe something for Alzheimer's, you know, you realize that these are inflated. And yet Regeneron, it's not an expensive stock, which is rather incredible.
Right.
I mean, Regeneron's a great company. They've got so many things going for it, not just a monoclonal antibody. I mean, they've got stuff by Leah's for macular degeneration. They've got a fantastic anti-cholesterol. But Regeneron is the monoclonal antibody, and that's what I think is making a lot of people live who would have died.
Right. Yeah, but certainly, it's been a priority for DeSantis in Florida, right?
Yes.
Making some comments lately about the importance of that cocktail.
You know, I have to say that testing, daily testing of kids before they go to school. I mean, I've been telling people to buy Abbott because Binax. I took Binax twice this weekend.
Good luck getting a PCR test right now, at least in New York City, in the New York City area. They're out, right? It's all antigen tests.
Supply
is getting cramped. Yeah.
That's Danaher, and that does a really good one, and Hologic has a really good one. Thermo Fisher,
right.
Those are the three. I didn't know it was that situation. I actually have great faith in the Binax. I don't want to take it every day. I'm just like, hey, my wife took Binax. So like, we're sitting around having breakfast. What are you doing? No, I'm taking Binax. I mean, it's like, hey, I'm having a cup of coffee. What are you doing? I'm Binax. I mean, it's just, I mean, I don't know. Carl, things have changed. Like, hey, what do you got there?
Yeah.
Pass the Binax, will you? They give you two of them in a box. Okay. You know, we went and bought every Binax that was at Rite Aid. It's like, why not? We want to test every day, especially because once kids start going to school, they come home, they could be carriers. So let's have some Binax.
Yep.
You come home, instead of having a G&T, you have a Binax.
It's like Mad Men, a different era.
Yes.
Mad Men.
Hey!
T-Mobile, Jim, says it's investigating claims in an online forum of a data breach that would involve the personal data of over 100 million users. Interesting. That's about all we have on it at the moment.
Yeah, I was surprised that that comes out. There's a lot of companies, let's say that came out from, remember the days, I don't want to mention the company, it's not right. But that has come out before and for other companies, and it's really crushed their stocks. Mike Siebert should give us a call. I'm serious. Mike should call you during Tech Check. Just say, listen, you know, don't worry about it. Or let me tell you what we're trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
But Mike Siebert watches the show, and it would be conducive to what that company has historically done, which would be very forward, being very open. So let's hope that he continues the John Leisure way of saying,
yep,
here's the deal. you know, wish we hadn't hadn't happened, rather than just kind of, well, maybe, maybe not. That's no good.
Right. Semis are trading pretty well here, I would argue, on a relative basis, Jim. We did have that report over the weekend that Pat Gelsinger of Intel met with the White House last month, I believe, and pushing for a multi-billion dollar chip investment in this country.
Well, we definitely need it. I think that one of the reasons why they do it away is because it's just much cheaper to make chips. We do need to have a safe place for all the equipment from KLA. You know, we need it from Lam. I mean, and I know that, you know, that Pat is very spot on, and we've got tremendous momentum there. But I think the problem is you're talking about multi-year. It takes a long time to get these things done. Very long time.
All right. You do have Micron's a little higher. Of course, had a couple downgrades last week, which we talked a lot about. AMAT's up. Western Digital. Oil, though, Jim, is probably one of the worst performers this morning. You got crude back to 66. I still think back to your call when it was in the mid-70s.
There, blind squirrel finds nut. But I would say that the main thing with oil trades with China, it doesn't trade with the United States. Remember, I had Pioneer on last week. They're doing quite well. I had Devon. They're doing well. But why are they doing well? Because they're spending within their means and then returning a lot of capital and variable dividends, not pumping a huge amount, but just being conservative. So it's not the United States that's driving this down. We're really being much more conservative. We're taking barrels out. I want to know more about this Venezuela story no one's talking about. If Venezuela has any sort of peace, everybody wants to be back there. The problem had been if the inflation was terrible.
Mm-hmm.
If they licked the hyperinflation, people go back there, all the big oil companies.
Right.
But I saw that BHP sold all of it.
Yes.
Because they're worried about ESG. I think instead of worrying about ESG, fix it. You know, be like these oil companies that are saying, listen, we're going to cut down methane. We're going to get rid of the greenhouse gas. We're going to do our best. But the market is getting hit, and I think that makes sense. I think it makes sense to reevaluate on a day like today what happened in Afghanistan and the implications. I don't think you can just sit there blindly and say, you know what, that does not matter. It matters to people in the sense of, wow, I've been pretty big in this market, and China seems to really be on the rise again, even though they can't even make this stuff because they've got Delta sweeping through their country.
Sure.
Delta, I think, is something that is going to slow our country down. That's why the taper story, it's like what I don't want is taper at the same time that we start getting all Airbnb.
Yep.
Like, you go read the Airbnb, and you say, well, what am I tapering for?
Exactly.
I got a guy who runs one of the largest, greatest hotel companies in the world, pseudo-hotel, and he's saying to worry, and I'm tapering?
Right.
I mean, he knows more than I do. That's how I feel. He's got a better read.
Right. Well, your point about China certainly is correct. Industrial production was not just a miss. It was the weakest since August of last year. Retail sales, 8.5 instead of 10.5. Right.
That means those are weak numbers. Yeah. And another a port was closed this weekend. And look, the Chinese are not going to say, you know, our vaccine doesn't work that well. I think they go to Pfizer's partner, BioNTech, and say, listen, you got to give us a billion vaccines.
Yep.
Now, there have been 4 billion vaccines that have been produced. Of course, you need two, but I mean, it's pretty impressive. But I do think that the Chinese kind of need an unfortunate do-over in their vaccine, and she's not going to come out and ask Pfizer.
That's not going to happen.
Nope.
We did mention crypto at the top. Market cap back to $2 trillion, first time in 3 months. The Journal with an interesting piece about small investors driving this particular rally.
Well, this is an amazing rally. And I disclose, I own Ethereum. I checked it this morning with my CEO, Noreen Shevlin. I said, oh, my God, how could I bought this as a currency because everyone tells me Ethereum is going to be the currency. If you go read the Coinbase conference call, it's very clear that there are so many institutions that want to take this. Visa leading the charge. I said, I'll own some Ethereum and see what it's like to go buy something with it. And all I can tell you is this thing just soared over the weekend. I think there are a lot of people who are saying let's say, when it goes up, the stock market goes down. How about that? So it's
yes.
I think, let's put it like that.
Yeah. Well, and implications for Coinbase, of course, which gets reiterated over Atlantic today, overweight and MicroStrategy. Yes.
Look, I thought that Coinbase had a very good quarter, if only just because they're the best show of a kind of a bedraggled group. And I do think that if you read the conference call, you realize that I think it's a conference call about crypto and why crypto is about accepting. And you've got to understand if it's accepting, then you should buy Coinbase. You don't need to buy the actual currencies. Meanwhile, treasuries keep, you know.
Yes.
You know, it's typical of people who think that the economy's got to slow down. Then you get a stock like Apple. And you say, okay, 12, you know. The 5G. I mean, these stocks that are just like they don't dance to the music. Yep. They're like, hey, you know, things are down. Go buy Apple. I mean, it's a great market when it says things are down. Let's go buy Shopify.
Let's go buy Shopify.
I need some Shopify right now. But can you let them come down for a little? People who are buying, could you just wait a little? You might get a better price. That could be terrific.
No dip too shallow, Jim. That's been the lesson lately.
Isn't that amazing?
No dip too shallow.
Yeah, I talk to people about the market. It's never like, I'm thinking about selling. It's like, you know, give me, there was a bartender this weekend. He saw me, he goes, thanks for Ford. Good, thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
But to Jim's point, we're down about 250 and back to 44.47. Let's get to Bob Pisani. Hey, Bob.
Good morning, guys. Happy Monday. Modest weakness here, considering we were at new highs. Remember, the big problem over the weekend is the COVID variant is sort of boxing in that reflation trade, the materials, the industrials, all the travel stocks. Take a look at the sectors today. You can see that. You see energy stocks, you see material stocks, industrial stocks, bank stocks weak. Tech is holding up because moderate growth will do okay in this environment. Consumer staples are also holding up. That's the defensive trade. If you look at what we call the broad swath of cyclicals, some of them are also value stocks today. You can see the material stocks, Freeport-McMoRan, Nucor, the travel stocks like Carnival, consumer cyclicals like United Rental and Whirlpool. Those are the weak sectors. And again, that speaks to that COVID variant and what's going on. A lot of questions for traders this week. Among them, of course, what's going on at the Federal Reserve. You heard Steve Leisman talking about the potential for an earlier taper, maybe October, November, rather than January. The Delta variant, well, it's, I said before, boxed in market. That's the problem right now. And of course, we haven't talked about Biden, but there's a lot of discussion about what, if any, damage to his political capital has happened as a result of Afghanistan. And that includes on the infrastructure negotiations. Why are we at new highs? I'll tell you, it's very simple, because we have incredible earnings that just keep going up. Let me just show you the second quarter 2019 versus 2021 here. I want to point out some of the things here before we go to that. Let me just tell you about the retailers and what's going on here. The retailers are flush with cash right now. The retail earnings situation is going to be fantastic because the consumer, as I mentioned, is flush with cash. Most of the retailers are passing on higher costs. Demand is high and supply is low, and we've got very little on sale out there. So the important thing is we're going to get retail earnings this week, and the consumer has never looked better than they look right now. If you look at some of the big names that are out there and what's going on, well, there's a lot of discussions about that. The Delta variant is really the wild card here. So the key test is back to school. And if you look at some of the big numbers here, apparel makers, they've held on very, very well. Big names like Urban Outfitters, Under Armour, Gap, Capri Holdings, all doing really well. But the big issue, is everybody going to go back to school? Is everybody going to go back to the weddings? Is everybody going to go back and refresh their wardrobe for back to work? We don't know that. These stocks have been acting like they have, and they will be happening in the fall. But again, that's a big wild card. The department store, same situation. These stocks, the Macy's and the Kohl's of the world, they all ran up in the earlier part of the year. Most of them have been sideways since then under the theory that we're going to have a significant reopening. I think the problem, again, we don't know to what extent there's going to be reopened. Just want to go back to that point about the S&P earnings. Carl, S&P earnings are up 30% compared to the second quarter of 2019. The revenues are up 8%. So this is amazing. You have a modest increase in revenues in the last 2 years. Use 2019 and a huge increase in earnings. And Carl, that is operating leverage. Modest increase in revenues because you have massive cost cutting. The bottom line blows up. 8% increase in revenues, 30% increase in earnings. And people, of course, are still noticing that margins at 13% for the S&P 500. That remains at a record. And that, Carl, is why we're hitting these new 52-week highs, at least on Friday. Back to you.
Not to mention the record cash hoards for global companies being written about today as well. Bob, thanks. Bob Pisani. As we get to our bond report, we'll see how treasuries are faring here. We did mention the 10-year yield getting back just below 1.25. Dow is down 260. Might sound like a lot, but it's actually the worst day so far for the Dow in about 12 days. We're back in a moment. S&P laggards on this Monday. You're going to get some oil and materials in there, but Moderna is going to lead the charge to the downside, down about 6.5%. Still remains the best performing S&P name for the year so far. We'll take a short break. Dow's down 270. Let's get to Jim and stop trading.
This market's one of the things about this market is if you find the right one, it's unbelievable. Upstart is artificial lending. OK, it's been up 395% this year. It reported a quarter last week. Good quarter. Really good. It quickly goes up 70 points. So don't lose heart. There are some real firecrackers out there. And this is an amazing lending company. Just keep looking. Keep looking. And don't necessarily get caught up that they're all bad that just started. This is a very good company. But don't be discouraged. The market should go down. There's things happening this weekend that were just...
There's bad news this weekend.
Yes.
A lot of bad news. You are going to have Roblox to kick around tonight, but what's on MAD?
Okay, Roblox has been very interesting. Yeah. There's very split, but people, if students come home again, wow. Okay, we have Suntory, which is a very good company, by the way. It's Jim Beam. And then AppLovin, and this company, people, someone called in, and I it's just a fire. Yeah, it's just on fire. It's another one of these companies that helps gamers, helps everybody. It's like helps everything. And you know the way this market's working is if you can be a platform for developers, Roblox too. People love you. It's very hard to keep track of all the companies that have come public. We didn't even get to Wheels Up.
That's right.
Someone recommended Wheels
Up. That's right. We were talking to Blade on Tech Check later on today.
Oh, good, because
yes.
Blade asked me, when are you taking Blade? I said, like, I don't know. Jeez, where do you go? He's West Hampton, the other side.
Yep.
All right, maybe. I don't know.
We'll see you tonight. Mad Money, 6 p.m. Eastern time.
You've been listening to the opening bell on CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.